sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
If you brought your Bibles, we're in Hebrews chapter 12, just beginning. Lieutenant General Lewis Burwell Puller, known as Chesty, is the most decorated U.S. Marine with five Navy crosses and an Army Distinguished Service Cross. That general was a fighter, a war hero. At one point, he told his troops, the general did, "The enemy have us surrounded. They won't get away this time." Another time, he says, "We've been looking for the enemy for some time now. We finally found him. We're surrounded." That simplifies things. You know, if you follow the news, you know we're living in evil times. We are absolutely surrounded by evil. So many individuals and nations are against Israel and against Christians. It's outlawed in many countries. Jesus and his disciples were surrounded by evil. He was born surrounded in Bethlehem, but he escaped by angelic deliverance. The disciples were surrounded by demon-possessed people, surrounded by so many who wanted no part of Jesus' accountability. He was surrounded by hand-picked apostles, knowing that only one would be there at the cross for his death, surrounded by religious people who wished him dead, surrounded by false accusations, soldiers, darkness, and death. Jesus repeatedly said that those who follow him will be persecuted, accused, tortured, and killed. Good news is that just as the mountains surround and protect Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds and protects his people. That the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we are surrounded. And that word is a present active participle. We are currently surrounded. Now, Hebrews 11 lists historical heroes that lived long ago, and they give us a lot of examples of their faith. Those in Hebrews 11 were Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Samson, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And they were all well-known examples of faith to the Jews. Other witnesses include saints through the ages who have gone before us. But other witnesses, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the best example of all is finally introduced in Hebrews 12, Jesus. And Jesus put a lot of complex spiritual teaching in his stories and metaphors and parables. And it uses imagery that seems simple, but it explains very deep spiritual truths. The Hebrew word mashal, or parable, simply means a riddle. And they are designed to reveal mysteries to those who are on the inside. But they conceal the truth to those on the outside, those who hear but don't understand. It's kind of what I would think of as the Christ code. Jesus said to his disciples, he said to Christians, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to the rest it comes by means of parables, so that they may look but not see, listen but not understand." Now, the writers of the New Testament use metaphors and illustrations in their writings as well. And the writer of the book of Hebrews uses parables to make hidden truths come alive. Now, parables have layers, and it speaks to listeners in different levels and in different ways. Hebrews 12, the writer compares being a good Christian to running a race. Do we have any runners here today? Runners? Zero hands. Anyone run in high school or college? Oh, some hands. Treadmill runners, any of those? Some. Any who run to the bathroom occasionally? Very good. Life isn't a short sprint, it's a long-distance marathon. One exercise website said that a sprint is a brief, explosive event, while a marathon is a prolonged high-intensity endurance event. They say a sprinter's body is built for speed and power. The marathoner is built for long, slow endurance. And they say that the training for each type of runner is different. The training to become a world-class Christian is spelled out in the New Testament in detail. In a blog, Billy Graham said that a different amount of stamina is required from each type of runner. He notes that a marathon runner maintains a steady rate of speed as long as possible and doesn't quit before the end of the race. And then Billy Graham quoted the Apostle Paul, "In a race, everyone runs. Only one person gets first prize, So run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or silver cup. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to. Otherwise, I fear after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside. Exhaustion and fatigue often sets in after one begins the race very aggressively, but they run the risk of being declared unfit and ordered to stand aside, according to Paul. The writer of Hebrews knows that these Christians had slowed down in their race, their active Christianity. And he's kind of like a preacher from like this, that Bambi movie, if you remember.
Get up, Bambi. Get up. You must get up. Get up. Get up.
Now, see, doesn't that sound like a preacher? Get up. You must keep going. The fire is coming. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16:24, if any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. And the writer of this passage said that the purpose of the pep talk was so that you don't become tired and give up. Are you tired and sitting on the sideline of your faith watching others do kingdom work? Ask yourself. Are you living an active, measurable, advancing Christian life? Because watching comfortably from the sidelines doesn't come with any rewards. The writer gives three things that are essential for us as Christians to win the race that God set before us. He said we should be inspired by God's past faithfulness. In fact, the first word in Hebrews 12 is therefore. And therefore looks back. It applies what's just been said. Therefore applies to the verses immediately before. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. Others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, their backs cut open with whips. Others chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some sawed in half. Others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute, oppressed, and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. And he lists just a few of the faithful witnesses who've gone before us. Not many. There's a lot more in the Bible. The cost of Christianity and belonging to the God of Israel is costly. Always has been. Lions, fire, sword, torture, ridicule, backs torn open, imprisoned, stoned, sawed in half, destitute, oppressed, mistreated, having to go into hiding, and that's not a complete list. There are no chapters or verses in letters that we write. There were none when this letter was written. Therefore goes along what was said just before, referring to the abused saints of yesteryear. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and this has been mistranslated so many ways, cloud, nephos, can be translated a dense crowd, a multitude, great company. And you see it in the different translators, how they translate this. Like one says, therefore, we also who have all these witnesses who surround us like clouds. Another is translated, such a large crowd of witnesses is all around us. Another says, since we're surrounded by so many examples of faith. And some have translated this as meaning that we're being watched from the clouds. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And in Greek words, Greek times, this word clouds describe the highest seat in the bleachers of a stadium, the nosebleed section up there. Surrounded, perikemai, means to be completely encircled by spectators with all eyes upon those in the field below. That's out of the Greek games. And some reason that if those who are in heaven can watch what's going on earth, it wouldn't be heaven anymore because they would be upset all the time. but there are two kinds of witnesses. The word is martyrion, where we get the word martyr, those who have died for their faith. But not everybody mentioned back in chapter 11 died for their faith. Witnesses can also be translated one who sees or testifies. And there are so many saints who have distinguished themselves in prayer and patience and faithful, righteous living, and they didn't die as martyrs. All these witnesses would say to us, though, I was faithful to the Lord. He was faithful to me. You can be that way as well.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. We can look at any of those mentioned in Hebrews 11 for an encouragement. And you can pretty well guess what Noah would say about how God was faithful to him if he was giving a personal testimony. And what would Abraham tell us on the long journey ahead, like he went on and like we're on? Or Moses, was the trade for the riches of Egypt worth the riches of heaven? We might have to wait for David to stop dancing before we ask him, what is it like to serve God and have him forgive? And all would have a personal testimony to share as witnesses of God's worthiness. Whatever we love, we study. There are those who are sports fanatics, and they know names and dates and details about their heroes and their teams. Artists know about artists before them. Musicians study the masters. Judges and lawyers study great cases to learn the strengths and weaknesses. And reading their stories is almost like being there with them. To be great with God, study the masters inside and outside of the Bible. I preached a series several years ago about great Bible personalities and covered many men and women in the scriptures, and it inspired those who are weary. We're inspired by God's faithfulness of the past, but we're also encouraged to move forward in the present. Don't sit. Hebrews 12 is like some coach instructing and inspiring his runner. The world offers bad advice, and they do it absolutely free of charge. It's worth it. One boxer was taking a terrible beating, and at the bell, he staggered to his corner, and his manager gave him this advice. Let him hit you with his left for a while. Your face is crooked. Another boxer was laying face down in the ring. His manager advised him to stay down until 8. The boxer looked at him and said, what time is it now? Boxer said to his manager, tonight I'll be fighting on TV before millions of people. And the manager said, yes, and they'll all know the results of the fight at least 10 seconds before you do. Bad advice. But with God in our corner, his advice is perfect. Psalm 32, the Lord says, I'll guide you along the best pathway for your life. I'll advise you and watch over you. Psalm 73, with your advice you guide me. And in the end, you'll take me to glory. Isaiah 48, the holy God of Israel, the Lord who saves you, says, I'm the Lord your God, the one who wants to teach you for your own good and direct you in the way you should go. And it says, let us, in verse 1, and it repeats it because we're not alone. That's us. The writer of Hebrews advises his readers, and we're his readers, how to run the race, to live our lives in such a way as to win the prize. And he coaches us with three lettuces. Let us rid, let us run, let us keep. And so verse 1, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way. And you know, cross-country runners often run rugged terrain over narrow paths, and there are sheer drop-offs. A misstep can be deadly. So they run without distraction. They don't carry any extra weight. There's no loose clothing. No one can do his or her sport by carrying unnecessary weight. It'd be a sure way to lose. So there's track, weightlifting, basketball, football, swimming, and all the outfits are made of super lightweight material. But some people insist on going through life carrying unnecessary baggage. They just won't let go of the past, and it kills them today and in their future. Like Martha, who was too busy to spend time with Jesus and He said, Martha, you're worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what's best. Let nothing stand between you and knowing, obeying, and serving Jesus. Nothing. There's always good stuff that needs to be done. But even good stuff can keep you from a close relationship with Christ. Jesus often got away by himself in order to spend time with his Father in heaven. And he turned away from so many good things he could be doing. People came from long distance with sick relatives. And there he was off by himself praying. Wasn't that selfish? He could be ministering to people and short-circuiting time he was spending with God. And he didn't do that. Every day we need to edit our lives and put God first. If we're too busy for God, we're too busy. And happiness isn't a person, place, or thing. It's Jesus Christ himself. Apotheme, lay aside, put away, give up, renounce, cast everything that keeps you from running to and with God. And if the good things in life are keeping us from the best things in life, it's not a good thing. So let us rid ourselves of the sin which holds on to us tightly. Interesting word. Some sin will trip us up. Other sin pulls us down into hell. And for some, that might be substance abuse or pornography or a relationship that God doesn't condone. It's anything that we prioritize over God. And many will choose to recoil in anger or shame rather than give up that sin. And it pulls them down. Some sin trips us up. Other sin entangles us, says the spider to the fly. The Greek word means sin that is skillfully, intentionally surrounding us. Almost like something demonic, something evil that holds on. It's the only time that's used in the New Testament, but it's also used in Greek sports of a competitor intentionally impeding another person. You see it in car races where that other driver intentionally bumps to take another driver out of the race. Let's keep running with endurance the race set before us. Hupome, endurance, steadfastness, patience, faith that doesn't give up no matter what the world throws at you. And actually, the world describes plants that have the power to endure any storm. Don't be distracted by what anyone else says or does. You follow Jesus. Race. That's the word agon. If you add a Y on the end, it's agony. And that's exactly where we get our word, race. It's translated to gathering, contest, grueling, conflict. And some contests are so severe they can cause athletes to crumble in pain and agony, like that race in Chariots of Fire, if you saw that. And our coach who art in heaven says, get up, lad, get up. Sometimes our race requires agony, determination, discipline, perseverance. And in Hebrews 12, 1 through 7, the word endurance is listed four times. That's what winners do. Winners don't give up, even if they have every reason to do so. James 1, 12 says, God will bless you if you don't give up. When your faith is being tested, he'll reward you. Jesus already said, everyone will hate you because you're committed to me. The person who patiently endures to the end will be saved. Now, the Bible doesn't say you have to be the fastest, but you need to finish the race. And runners are constantly joining in and dropping out. We need to finish the race that God has set before us. We're not in a sprint, we're in a marathon. All who finish win the race. And sometimes we finish with a little or a lot of help from our friends. It's like what happened at the Dallas Marathon a few years ago. Let's watch.
This is just class right here by both of them. Oh, another boy. Fall. Oh, we just all want her to just get there. She's given everything she possibly has to get to this finish line.
She is literally, from where we sit, we can see she's less than 50 yards from the finish. Sold a phenomenal athlete and triathlete, great runner.
She's just willing herself there.
And this is our winner, ladies and gentlemen. This is not normally what you expect to see at the finish of a marathon.
But Chandler Self has run herself to complete exhaustion, and she is so brave. This is incredible. And she's running fast. Remember, she's 30 minutes ahead, or slower than what the time is because she started earlier. She is still going to run the marathon in under 2 hours and 54 minutes. Tremendous effort for Chandler Self today.
And I would say come to Sun City West Christian Church if you need a little help to finish your race. In the meanwhile, stay focused on the future. Keep your eyes on the prize. Writer and movie producer George Lucas said you simply have to put one foot in front of the other and keep going. Put blinders on and plow right on ahead. Winston Churchill says if you're going through hell, keep going. Alexander Graham Bell, concentrate all your thoughts on the work at hand. The sun's rays don't burn until brought to a focus. Martial arts fighter Bruce Lee says the successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus. All champions in their own way. Christ followers will do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. The Bible, heroes of the faith, encourage us from behind. Other Christians will cheer us on and run with us daily. But we need someone who's out front calling to us, and that's Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Archagon is a multifaceted word for author. It also means pioneer, beginner of all things. First in a series, leader, first cause, chief, prince, predecessor, founder. Because Jesus has run our race in front of us and he didn't drop out. He stood up against an entire religious system and all the forces of hell, but he crossed the finish line. We study the Gospels to learn how Jesus ran his race, and we see what he did and how he taught, and it helps us navigate our own race through life. There are many who say that they are speaking for Jesus. Don't believe them. Luke 21:8, Jesus said, "Watch out, don't be fooled. Many men claiming to speak for me will come. Don't follow them." We can believe Jesus' words that are written in the Bible. They're faithful, and they don't change. And Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Look to Jesus, and you'll find the joy that he found. That's what it says. He saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured death on the cross. He saw the end of the race, the finish line, and the reward. And maybe he even saw those who would spend eternity with him, and that propelled him on. He decided that we were worth the price that would need to be paid. Lyrics of one Christian song says a look of love was on his face, thorns on his head, the blood that was on his scarlet robe stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time, because when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. John Starnes, the most exciting events to watch are those who do their best at the very end. Some spectators will have already left early to beat the traffic. The end of the game is a foregone conclusion the winners and losers already guessed at. But the game ain't over till it's over. And our life obviously isn't over. We're still in the game. So there's still time to do something great if God's love, Christ's love, compels us to do so. And everybody is equally tired at the end of the race. The difference between good and great is that final push. So determine what you can do for Jesus before your game is over. Don't sit on the sidelines. When we're done, that's time to sit down. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Together, we're going to make it over the finish line with the grace of God. So it's fun to be on the journey together.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.